the central teaching of Bhagavan Ramana. In his first editorial, written for the April 1974 issue of The Mountain Path, Vishwanatha Swami pours out the fruit of his lifelong effort to understand and experience his Guru's teaching. Beyond what is written here, there is nothing more to know or practice to experience complete spiritual fulfillment as taught and lived by Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi. Once, when Bhagavan was asked what his central teaching was, he replied that the center itself was his central teaching. By the center, he meant the heart, the source of everything. Though we find mention about the heart in the traditional scriptures, as for instance, I am the one Atman ever present in the heart of all beings. 15. Ishvara, God, dwells in the heart of all beings. 18. 61. Bhagavad Gita. We do not find a satisfactory definition of it anywhere. Many take it as the physical heart. Though life and death are due to its throbbing and stopping, that is not the spiritual heart. Then, what is the spiritual heart? Here is the reply, as recorded in Chapter 5 of Sri Ramana Gita. Wherefrom all thought movements of embodied beings emanate, that is known as the heart. The I thought is the root of all thoughts, and so, from where the I thought springs up, that, in short, is the heart. Verse 3. And so, Bhagavan directs us to watch the source from which the I thought emanates. The I thought disappears as one searches for its source. This is self-inquiry. Upadesa Sara, verse 19. On the annihilation of the I thought by means of constant self-inquiry, the heart itself shines forth as I, and it is the Supreme Self, all-pervading. Upadesa Sara, verse 20. The ego I, as subject, is always associated with an object, whereas the real I shines alone as I, pure awareness devoid of the mental subject-object split. And this pure awareness is known as the heart. Thou art the inner self, who dancest in the heart as I. Heart is thy name, O Lord. Arunachala Pancharatnam, verse 2. Bhagavan has, from his own experience, revealed it to us the location also of that heart center. It is on the right side of the chest and not on the left. It is the center from which the mind with its root thought I is born, and it is the source of light and life in the individual. It is the natural center in which everyone feels their own identity. The mind withdraws into it during sleep without knowing it. If one consciously touches it, seeking the source of one's being, then one transcends individuality. It is the center from which the ego emanates and perceives the world. Withdrawing consciously into it, one experiences the unity of the self, in which all differentiation is lost and everything is experienced as nothing but the self. That is blessedness, and that is not only the summit of spiritual experience, but should be the quiet normal state of every being, the reality of all beings. All suffering born of a false sense of separate individuality completely disappears, and that is the state of unalloyed perennial bliss. Those who find it difficult to follow this path of pure self-inquiry may practice mental repetition, japa, of any name of God, or simply Om, as representing the one self of all, with their attention focused at the heart center. By this process also, all thoughts including the root thought I, get destroyed, and one reaches the same goal, the one real self of all, the ever blissful pure awareness. We find approval of this method in the following verses of Sri Ramana Gita, chapter 3, verse 10, 11. By incessant japa of mantras or pranava alone, with steady mind and unwavering faith, one attains perfection. By constant japa of mantras, or even by the japa of simple pranava om alone, thought gets turned away from objects and merges into self. The first is the path of self-inquiry, and this is the path of meditation. Both of them lead to the same goal, the one indivisible self of all. This merging in the heart, the reunion with the ground of being awareness, is of course the heart, the core, and the ultimate goal of every religion. That is why earnest seekers, whatever their religion, find Bhagavan's teaching not only acceptable, but the very essence of their own tradition. What makes the teaching most attractive is that it is so clear, precise, and definite, and comes from a realized sage. Also, it carries with it a sense of special urgency, because it is accompanied by the safe and simple method of self-inquiry, vichara, which is the most practical and useful aspect of Bhagavan's teaching. This method, explained in Who Am I, Upadesasara, and 40 verses on reality, is the final stage in the spiritual path, but all other sadhanas like bhakti, dhyana, upasana, yoga, and seva, prescribed by the various traditions, are recommended by Bhagavan as helpful preliminary or supplementary disciplines. Self-inquiry, whether taken up as the main or a collateral method, forces the pace of self-surrender and the access to awareness. The mutual reinforcement of the two processes, extinction of the inquiring ego and merger in the cherished ideal, is well brought out in the contents and arrangement of the first two verses, which form the invocation of the 40 verses on reality, Sat Darshana. Without the reality existing, can there be a knowledge of existence? Free from all thoughts, that reality abides in the heart, the source of all thoughts. It is therefore called the heart. How then to contemplate it? To be as it is in the heart, is it contemplation? Those for whom there is the intense fear of death seek only the feet of the Lord as their refuge, who has neither death nor birth. Dead to themselves and their possessions, can the thought of death occur to them again? Deathless are they. The first verse asserts that being and awareness are identical, and that this being awareness is no object for meditation. Being, indeed, is the heart to know, which can only be abiding as itself. According to the second stanza, the dissolution of the ego in pure awareness is accomplished by confrontation with death, that is, by a willing acceptance of individual non-being, and by the consequent total surrender to the Lord immortal. For true surrender amounts to the extinction of the individual self with all its attachments. Once the ego has disappeared, who is there to think of death? Disassociation from the perishable body and identification with awareness, which has no beginning, end, or change, should not merely be accepted as an intellectual proposition, but directly experienced and remembered as a transformation of consciousness. When this happens, it is their real conversion for which all the religions have come into being and are laboring hard, a death which is a rebirth for which, according to Bhagavan, all men and women are eligible here and now. The enemy to overcome is not death of the physical body, but the fear of death, whether it is the philosopher Socrates, who did not shrink from drinking hemlock, or the poet Shakespeare, who declared, "Death once dead, there is no more dying then," or the seers, who smile at the dissolution of the body as the common human lot, the critical moment, or voluntary process which releases the God imprisoned within our ignorant, limited self, does occur when one dares and chooses consciously and willingly to die as corruptible and mortal flesh, only to find oneself born into incorruptible and immortal being as awareness. It is only after this event, which has now been brought within the reach of many by Bhagavan's grace, that true human living can commence in the plenitude of awareness and in the harmony of right relationship.